Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Tuesday, the 18th of December. Very nice to have you aboard for our program. We have a wonderful panel assembled. Let me introduce them to you. Just a reminder also that you can join in on the fun. And isn't this fun? Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. And we'd love to hear from you. Libby Post is with us. She is a political consultant.
Yes.
And she is here, and we thank you.
You're welcome.
Welcome. Good morning. J.P. Miller is with us. He is the man behind the Empire Report. He is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Joe.
Very nice to have you with us. Mike Spain is the associate editor of the Times Union. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Excellent. And Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe. And tell everybody, I'm a little nervous this morning because we're getting so close to the end of the year, and all that end of the year money is coming in. And I just want to—I met somebody the other day who just didn't even know about this whole thing. So maybe you could mention it.
So, sure. Why not? If you go to WAMC.org, if you are so inclined to give at the end of the year, which is, it's good for your heart.
Yeah.
It's good for your soul. It perhaps is good for your taxes. You know, it works out. We are in the season of giving after all. So if you come forward and would like to add us to your list of worthy charitable organizations, we are more than willing to take what you have. This is always a big time for us. We love and respect all the people who come to us and help support us this time of year. All you have to do is go to WAMC.org, WAMC.org, and all the information that you need is there, including how you can put a check into an envelope and just send it to us.
318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. And Joe, you make a very good point. I would just argue with you on one thing. I wouldn't add us to the list. I'd put us at the head of the list. That's what I would do.
Really?
I would mention one other thing, and that's when you give a large donation to an organization and you do it on your credit card, you get points on your credit card, and you get the donation, and you get the tax break. It's a triple whammy.
Except the organization doesn't get all the money.
Who said that? Oh, because you have to pay something.
You pay
a
fee. The fee comes out.
Guess what? We'll take it.
If you use a credit card, period, is it more if it's a frequent flyer card?
The fee? That I don't know.
That's subtracted from the...
Yeah, I don't know.
No, but it's true. Like during the fund drive, when somebody does it on a card, and we love when people do it because we get the money right away.
Right.
You pay a very small fee.
Yeah.
Cost of doing business.
Cost of doing business. I do it all the time, just making that point.
Okay, all right.
And you get frequent flyer miles.
If it's on the right card.
Or whatever.
Or whatever kind of points you
collect. Yeah, that's right. Your points may vary. Here's the point.
We're here to have a conversation.
Here's the point of the matter.
Stories of the day.
After being chastised by Alan, screw all the other charitable organizations. Just put us at the top of the list.
That's not true.
Give us money.
I didn't say screw them all. I just said put us at the top of the list.
Put us at the top of the list and remove the rest of the list.
Because you are listening right now.
That's true. That's true.
To the station you love.
That's right. And so we love, and people do this all the time, and it's just the gifts are beautiful and lovely, and it keeps us afloat. It makes the February fund drive a little more pleasant because it's usually very short because of all the money that comes in at the end of the year. So whatever you can do, thank you.
Yes, by the way, that's right, Joe.
It goes in the lockbox. Yes, the box is locked for your protection. All right, let's go on to topics and find out what else is, or find out what's making news this morning. And there's always something. Let's start with the Dow. Ooh,
nasty.
Market will open here, but Dow sweeps downward again with no sign of a Santa rally. I did not know in economics there was such a thing as the Santa rally, but apparently there is. U.S. stock markets again swept downward on Monday as criticism about the Federal Reserve's pace of interest rate increases has kicked up a fresh round of year-end volatility. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 507 points, 2.1%, extending a slide after a 496-point loss on Friday. The blue chip barometer is notching its worst month in more than 3 years. The Standard & Poor's 500 stock index and the tech-laden NASDAQ composite also dropped 2.1 and 2.3%, respectively. The usual havens where investors go when the market plunges were hit the hardest as real estate, consumer staples, and the utility sector all fell. Energy was hit. Healthcare stocks took losses on federal judges' ruling last Friday about the Affordable Care Act being unconstitutional. Banks also in the red on Monday. So now what do we do?
Well, there's a significant New York State angle here. You know, back in October, the state comptroller, Thomas DiNapoli, was hoping that we would beat last year, which beat the year before on Wall Street profits, because New York gets about 18% of its tax collections from the profits on Wall Street. So back in the fiscal year 2016-17, they got $13.5 billion. Last fiscal year, the one we're just ending, it rose 7% to $14 billion. And they were hoping it would continue to go up, but it looks like right now it's not going to. It's going to go down a couple of percentage points, and they bank on that money. So they got to get it somewhere else, or they got to cut programs in New York State taxes. So it's not good news for us upstate taxpayers.
And the pension. You know, they also the pension fund.
Well, that's another application of it. Sure. Yeah. You're right. Yep.
You know, that is something we probably oughtn't to talk about now because it's a little depressing. But as you probably know, pensions are largely a thing of the past. People stopped having pensions in most places, and they started 401ks and whatever they call them. And now a lot of people who are depending on that for their retirement are really hurting.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Well, I remember the week after Election Day back in November, the Capitol steps came to the egg at was
Thank
brought here by WAMC. They sang a song about to the tune of YMCA. And it was, you know, leading up to it, they were, you know, singing lyrics that said, why do people continue to tolerate all these deficiencies of Trump? And then they sang 401K.
Yeah.
And they were all hopping up and down because their 401Ks were hitting the
That's great. That ain't happening
roof.
Anymore, right?
Yeah. That was a month ago.
That was not long ago.
And
it's
also Wall Street bonus season where a lot of hedge funds and private equity funds are deciding how much to give bonuses. And that's what a lot of people on Wall Street, where they get their money and where, of course, our state and the city of New York collect their tax revenues around those bonuses. I also think that a challenging stock market and a bad economy is the biggest threat to the Trump presidency. I don't think that this president can withstand a bad economy and a bad stock market, and you will see Republican senators start to abandon him. I think this is the one thing where you can see Republican senators start to abandon the president is if the economy tanks.
Well, the economy was, you're quite right, JP, the economy was the one thing, arrow in his quiver, that was really he could point to. And now he can't point to that.
But it wasn't his economy. It was the momentum from the Obama
administration. Well, as economists always say, presidents get much too much credit and much too much blame for the economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This one got a lot of credit.
And he took the credit. He beat his chest. He said, this is me. And now he can't do that.
Well, and now he's saying that economic advisor, Peter Navarro, said on CNBC on Monday that the Fed is the source of the volatility in the stocks.
Well, he picked the new Fed chairman.
That doesn't count.
Janet Yellen was doing a fantastic job.
She certainly was.
She happened to have two strikes against her. She was an Obama appointee, and she happened to be a woman. So he got rid of her and brought in his own guy, who was, by all measures, a fine, capable person, but he needs somebody to blame it on. It's easy to blame the Fed.
Yeah, and that didn't go, none of that's going down well because, as you know, his friends at Fox are now reporting that there may be a sealed indictment with his name on it. So can you imagine?
Yeah, maybe. There may be a man on the moon, too. I mean, you know.
Mike, you make a very good point. There may be an elephant that's about to fly through the room.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Also, and let us say that when there's uncertainty on Wall Street, there's also great uncertainty with a lot of unanswered questions, such as there's a Fed meeting on Wednesday, and, by the way, a possible government shutdown.
Right.
That perhaps won't help things either. So there is great negativity in the markets and concern because of these things. And so does all of that concern lead to a shaking of the confidence of business leaders and sort of become self-fulfilling?
Well, does anyone know, does a government shutdown automatically translate into a drop in the stock market?
It doesn't. And the stock market really likes stability. They just don't want change either in Trump's direction or against Trump's direction. They want gridlock in general. Of course, a prolonged shutdown would be bad for the stock market. And as Joe pointed out on Wednesday, the Fed, you know, whether the Fed raises interest rates, I think will be a bigger determinant than of what happens then. The government shutdown.
Well, they're already signaling, right, JP, that they are going to raise their interest rates.
It's not going to be good for the market.
Yeah.
But it's never good. They just don't like anything that's going to cost money, you know, even though the interest rates have been practically at zero for years, you know, and they're finally getting back to the point where it's sort of semi-normal. And people don't like that. They want it to continue to be subsidized.
But it is astounding how this president blames all the people that he appointed, including this Fed chair, and thinks nothing about doing that. The sense of, is he loyal to anyone or to anything, just keeps getting reinforced all the time.
There's also a lot of reporting that he is watching the stock market every day and he is freaked out about it because he knows he is an astute political observer, and I think that he knows that his approval ratings will not be able to stay the way they are with a bad economy and a bad stock market.
Right. Well, no doubt he'll blame it on Democrats too, you know, and try to shift the blame everywhere he can.
Personal responsibility is not a concept this man understands.
But he's politically astute. I agree with JP. He's better. He's more politically astute than we ever want to acknowledge.
But there's also
the president.
And then there's also the personal hit that you could take if the stock market tanks, right? I mean, for him.
It's all borrowed money.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah,
it's debt. He and Joe Kennedy made a lot of money with debt.
But he could pretty well count on the Saudis to help him out.
Mm-hmm. And the Russians.
Yeah. Let us move on to some other things before we go to our break here at the bottom of the hour. Of course, the other big story from New York State is that the governor of this state, Andrew Cuomo, is moving to legalize recreational marijuana in the state of New York within months. This is a turnabout. This is a turnaround for the governor. Although it does seem, when all of your neighboring states are doing it, including the neighbors to the north, Canada, I don't know how you do anything else, right?
Except that he obviously sees political capital from doing this.
Well, now he does. Yeah.
I mean, a 1 year mm-hmm. ago, this guy was saying, and I don't know that he was wrong. Yeah. You know, this is a gateway drug, and there are studies. By the way, Libby, you're shaking your head, but there are studies showing that people who start with marijuana do go to other places. Now, I know I'm going to get a ton of mail right now.
Yeah, because people who start with the beer end up being alcoholics. So, you know, if we can drink, we should be able to smoke.
Yeah, well,
responsibly. The other thing that he's seeing besides the political upside of this is the sales tax revenue upside of this. This is going to bring millions of dollars into the state coffers. And
yeah, millions of dollars. The guys who were shucking this stuff.
Like the casinos. They bring in so much money, right?
No, this will be better than the casinos.
Better than the casinos?
Yes.
Hard to believe.
I think
those casinos
be better.
Give us so much tax money.
Yeah, yeah, you're being your cheek is firmly
and the marijuana. This is going to be great for everybody. Yes,
but I mean, you make that analogy, and yet
it's not.
I mean, part of the problem.
It's a false analogy.
Well, he was kidding around.
But it's a vice tax, basically.
Yeah, it's a vice tax. But the fact of the matter is that the casinos are not doing all that well. This is guaranteed income. We see that in every state that's legalized. It's
the states that have legalized it, like Colorado, the reason why they did so well is because all of the pot smokers from all over the country go to Colorado and they smoke it and they stay in the hotels and they have tourism and they're smoking and then they bring it over, you know, to colleges everywhere across the country. So Colorado does great, much like Las Vegas did really well when they were the only casino.
So
when everybody has casinos and everybody has marijuana,
I'm glad
all
you
of a sudden,
not legal prostitution. All, but
the,
go ahead.
All of a sudden, you see step. All of a sudden you see the benefits to the taxpayers are going to get this windfall gets deadened a little.
Whoa!
I don't think so at all.
How much money was going to the gangsters?
That's right. It's the money
that is now going to be going to the state, JP.
Right.
But it also in a
and how many less men of color are going to end up in jail?
Because well, that's it.
Disproportionately,
from a
criminal justice point of view, disproportionately, young black men, young men of color end up in jail because they have a dime bag where if you're white and a frat boy, you get a slap on the wrist.
Well, it is interesting that at the same time we're doing this change, that we're letting up on some of these laws, which go to exactly the point you were just making. Maybe coincidence, maybe not. However, I do have one thought. Every day I come home and I get off at, I guess it's B3, you know, and there is this Sunoco place.
Yeah, what
happened? For 1,000 years, the Sunoco place has been changing hands. Nobody can make a buck with it. Now, there's a big sign in front of it that says, for sale.
Yeah.
Now, could you think of a better place to have pot distribution sales center?
Well, but you can go right across
the border.
The Massachusetts border and buy it.
Yes, but if New York is going to legalize now, you get it going both ways.
Yes, you can get it before you get onto the thruway, or go to Tanglewood, or you know.
I have a sort of a hypothetical question: if New York does go ahead and make it legal to recreational marijuana, as it seems, and Cuomo promises to make this happen within the first 100 days,
yeah, pretty.
I don't know when it would take effect, but the law would pass in the first 100 days. Would it be now illegal to drive across the border from Massachusetts to New York with marijuana in your car? Because it currently is. I mean, will the interstate?
I think it won't be.
Yeah, it won't be.
Probably
because it'll
not.
Be legal in both states. Yeah. That's interesting. Would it violate any federal law?
It's already violating federal law.
Well, what about
law?
International law, you know, if you're going to Canada?
You know, it's still illegal from a national perspective.
So you might have price wars going on between Western Massachusetts and Eastern New York.
All right, let's take a break.
Okay, well, there's other things.
Just calm the pot talk for a minute, okay?
I can't.
We'll be right back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, J.P. Miller, and Libby Post. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. We'll continue our conversation about recreational marijuana becoming legalized in the state of New York, possibly. But we have letters. Let's go to those.
All right. Jamie says, panel, I think it's time we all accept that stockbrokers are lemmings, desperate to find the next cliff to jump off. Anyone who understands the industry and how it works knows that brokers are not the most intellectual crowd. It is amazing how much of the economy we entrust to people with only one concern. How much can they squeeze out of all of us? I know some nice stockbrokers who are smart. What can I tell you, you know? Okay, and Kevin says, Fed interest rates. This is Kevin from Melrose. 55300. Okay. Has Trump received preferential treatment when it comes to the Fed? He railed against Powell when he was talking of a rate hike a couple of months ago, and the Fed left it alone. Anybody on that?
No.
Dan says, legalizing recreational marijuana. Don't just let us buy it. Let us grow it for ourselves, too, as in they do it in Massachusetts. And that's Dan and Saugerties. I didn't know that. But I think that's right, because they had a guy on yesterday on the roundtable. No, was it you, Joe, or was it the... No, it was Vox Pop. And I think. and it was one of the programs.
VoxPop would have been yours.
No, so was the news.
Okay.
And talking about, the place in Great Barrington is a dispensary, but they own another one where they grow it. So probably right.
Yeah.
And Jen from Chatham says, Alan, you seriously need to come out of the dark ages on marijuana. Alcohol has a way higher harm profile than any drug, and it's legal. Ugh. Alan, grow up. Jen from Chatham. Love it. And then Melissa says, marijuana sales. In the first 2 weeks, the first two ships in...
Shops.
So sorry. You see that on your machine already?
Yes, dear.
Okay. In the first 2 weeks, the first two shops in Massachusetts...
For those of you reading along at home. Yeah, go ahead.
In the first 2 weeks, the first two shops in Massachusetts did $2 million in sales. They are over $7 million in sales now, taxed at a 20% tax rate. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Well, Canada...
Canada cannabis?
They sold out. Several of the shops that they opened when they went legal, they sold out, and they had to shut them down temporarily till they.
Oh, there was new.
Their supply could.
Right. When they opened up Amherst, there was like the one in Amherst.
Northampton, yeah.
I think there was like lines around the block.
Apparently, that is still a phenomenon.
Yeah.
It continues to be.
Well,
in
it's
Northampton.
A lovely holiday gift.
Yes.
And do you remember when Foxwoods first opened in Connecticut, the casino down there? And they were the only casino in the area. It was a bonanza for Connecticut for a couple of years. And then once all the other casinos open up, the impact is a little less.
Well, but in the case of marijuana, if it's being widely purchased and it's taxed, it will still generate the revenue. It's a little different. I mean, people aren't going to the casinos. I mean, they're just not going to them at the rate that the casino people, the people in the legislature. And
you don't feel nearly as good coming out of a casino as you do in a dispensary.
No, absolutely.
So I wanted to get back to the letter from Jen from Chatham for a moment.
Oh, I thought you were done with that one.
No, you all admired me because I took it in the right spirit. But I wanted to just make a couple of points on that one. Number one, I never said I was against selling marijuana. I'm not. Number two, for all the reasons we mentioned. Number two, I'll be putting this on my wall, Jen, and when the first major accident happens, and then you'll say, well, but alcohol causes more. But that's false equivalency, don't you see? So you have to have a balanced view of this.
Well, I mean, we do have a sort of a Petri dish, and that's the state of Colorado, where it's been legal since about 2011, I believe. And, I mean, there is some indication that there is, less automobile accidents from marijuana than there is from from alcohol and things like that. Mm-hmm. And they're getting a sense of that. But there's also some concerns about young people getting their hands on it, people who are under the age of 21, and how it affects the young brain's development. It's different, And we won't really know the full impact of legalized recreational marijuana probably for a couple of more decades.
I think we know the impact on young brains because kids have been smoking it for generations.
And you know some of those kids, babe, they're just like totally out of it, though they're like 50
I admit,
or whatever.
Look, I was smoking since my junior year in high
Lock
school.
Lock her up.
All the way to 2005.
Right. But
consistently.
But the people I'm talking about, the people who weren't just occasional smokers of pot, but the potheads that we went to school with or college with.
Now they're doctors and lawyers and accountants.
Some of them are.
I would just like to say that when we were talking about the stock market, we got three letters. And now that we're talking about pot, there's about 25 letters.
Right. Well, that's always the case, by the way, on Vox Pop 2 when this happens. Very popular thing. John says, good morning, panel. My question about legalization is what happens to people who work in industries that are governed by the federal government? For instance, truckers who are governed by the Department of Transportation, would they be able to legally use marijuana? Well, no, this business between the states and the feds is very interesting. I heard, I don't know if this is true, Somebody will certainly correct me, that you had to pay in cash.
Yes, because the feds... You can't put it into a bank.
The banking system does not want to participate in any of the commerce related to cannabis sales because the federal government doesn't approve it. Now, there are proposals in Congress to take marijuana off the dangerous substance list, along with cocaine is there and heroin is there, and they would stay there, of course, but marijuana is classified that way, and that prohibits all kinds of research from being done, and it really restricts any kind of commerce related to it. And that probably would change things quite a bit. They have to have armored trucks in Oregon and Colorado and Washington State, now a lot of other states, to carry the cash around because there's lots of cash.
And Gregory enters the conversation, much as a former Jen from Chatham did, by saying that the key thing to know about cannabis is there, and this is in the capital letters now, there is no lethal dose. You cannot overdose on it. Can't say that about alcohol, and alcohol is legal. Driving while drunk is not legal, right?
And I do think part of the big battle in New York is who is going to get these licenses. And I think that there are some powerful interests, tobacco companies and wealthy people that say, hey, we want to be the ones that want to profit on this. And then there are a number of people in the assembly, for instance, that
have been smoking marijuana for years that
represent minority communities, and they say many of these minority communities have been ravaged by having people be incarcerated by this. These minority communities should be the ones to profit it, not big business.
Well, I think you'll see a whole new WMBE line of business and training from the state on how to set up your own cannabis factory or, you know, your operation so that folks can benefit.
The flip of that is
there being criminal justice reform and letting those guys out of jail who are in jail on these minor pot infractions.
That has to be part of it.
Yeah, that absolutely has to be part
of it. And Cuomo in New York is proposing, you know, some other criminal justice reforms, like an end to cash bail, which keeps a lot of people behind bars because they can't come up with a couple hundred bucks and they lose their jobs, their families suffer. And I mean, it's just a spiral downward for minor arrests.
I mean, yesterday's speech, as it were, talked about a lot of things, not just the legalized marijuana. That's just the sexiest issue in here. But, you know, he talked about cutting middle class taxes, codifying reproductive rights, the Contraceptive Care Act, guns, the DREAM Act, and passing GENDA, the Gender Equality Non-Discrimination Act. And I think that'll happen in the first 100 days, too. I think Reproductive Health Act, contraception, GENDA, I think they'll all happen in the first 100 days.
Okay, another letter, this one from James, who says pot. It would be interesting and perhaps important to have some disclosure about the panel's use of pot with a discussion from this point of view. And that's from James in Hartwick, New York. And Libby has already disclosed. So that leaves it to you, JP.
What's the question?
Did you smoke pot?
Absolutely, yes.
Yes, okay. And Mike?
Oh, I smoked it, but I didn't inhale.
And Alan, the answer is never, not once, not ever in my life.
Well, now what?
Well,
okay,
no,
we've come clean.
Joe?
Yes.
Yes is your answer?
No is my answer.
You never smoke pot?
No.
So that's the two of us.
Really?
Good boys.
Wow.
Okay. And
you know, if you grow up with addiction in your house, you're like, maybe not.
Yeah. Okay. I get it.
Or if you grow up with just trying to do the right thing and, you know, you think when you're 12 years old you may want to run for Congress. And then you say, okay, well, I can't do this because, you know, it'll disqualify me. You're staring at me.
Running for Congress?
It's interesting.
Now we find out.
The FBI, I remember taking a tour of the FBI a couple of years ago.
By the way, let me just say, I can't wait till for it to become legal, and then I'm going nuts.
Are you? Okay, you're going to make up for lost time, are you?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay.
The FBI will give you a lie detector test, you know, and ask you a whole bunch of questions about your past, and they allow you to have something like 13 period at times when you've smoked marijuana, and the reason 13. Is that they figure, you know, people in college will try it or be exposed to it or be at a party where someone passes you a joint, and you won't have to lie if you're not a user. And they say 13 is that magic number. You know, if you haven't smoked pot 13 times, you really weren't a pot smoker.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. All right. And
according to the FBI, yeah, a few years ago.
Okay. When did you lose count, Libby?
Sometime during my senior year in high school.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
Well, and that does disqualify you from becoming a federal
That's
agent.
That's okay. I'm not really, I'm a little old for that now.
And Kirsten says marijuana.
The knees worth.
Yeah.
This is from Kirsten, who loves our show. If we legalize recreational marijuana, would there be amnesty for any of the people currently serving sentences for possession of marijuana? It seems hypocritical to keep people locked up for possession of a substance that is now legal.
Right, and that's what we were talking about before.
Right. All right.
All right, let's take a pause, and when we come back, we'll be back. We have more letters. I'm sure we'll talk much more about this conversation, and we'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel this morning. I'm learning a lot about my colleagues this morning, I must say.
With edibles and retirement.
Yeah, we're having a great discussion. Yeah. Good morning. Welcome. We have time for your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. We always have time for your letters, but panel at WAMC.org. We'll go back to them and continue.
Says Chester. Legalization, like computers and cell phones and indoor plumbing, pot will gradually become mainstream, something you might find in the vegetable department. Next to carrots. I think that's pretty funny. Those who have always relied on marijuana smoking to express their political dissent will eventually have to start looking for another symbol to represent their nonconformity, as shoppers all across America will be loading up their carts with sensimilla by the pound. Sensimilla? Anybody know that?
I don't
Sensimilla?
Know.
Sensimilla? Is it Mia?
S-E-N-S-I-M.
I think it's Mia, but I'm not positive.
Mia. Sensimilla.
What is it? Is it like Hawaiian or Mexican
I
or Acapulco
so.
Gold or that sort of thing?
Look, didn't I hear any?
I wonder if, the availability of...
A highly concentrated type of cannabis.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I wonder if the availability in other states has led to... better development of cannabis-based medications for people. That you know, there's a lot of them that derivatives of cannabis that don't get you high, but they deal with things like epilepsy and other issues, yeah. And they're very effective. And that could be one of the benefits of this. It just may open the door for better regulation and experimentation of how products that can really help people can be developed without having to worry about becoming intoxicated.
Yeah, you can buy CDB products now over the counter in places and
not in New York.
Yes, you can.
Oh, over the counter?
Over the counter.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, there are places I'm sure you have to get a license, but it's part of the medical marijuana
you need a prescription.
No.
No.
You do
okay.
not.
Well, I'm, I stand
is,
corrected. I
CDB
not
is not, you don't get stoned from it, mm-hmm. and it's what you were
There's
talking about.
There's not THC in it.
There's no THC in it, mm-hmm. and so, I've used it since my knee operation, and it's been very helpful.
And so Nancy says, legalize it. I am 65 years old. I have smoked lots of cannabis recreationally in my life. I haven't moved on to the use of any other drugs, including prescription medications. It's not as dangerous as alcohol in terms of health or impairment leading to accidents. Racism is at the heart historically of legislation outlawing cannabis, including the very useful hemp plant. Thank you from Nancy. And then we heard from Barbara, who says, I use medical marijuana. It costs a lot of money. I use it. Medical marijuana. I'm reading it just as it's written. It costs a lot of money. All of the money is sitting untaxed. Additionally, it is not covered as a legitimate prescription in spite of the legitimate medical use for many conditions, not even via the New York State EPIC, E-P-I-C program. Mm-hmm. And that's from Barbara in New York. And Connecticut.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So New York has a prescription program to support people who are income eligible, who are elderly, called Epic. And it can't distribute or support cannabis-based drugs because it's Medicaid-related and that's federal-related and you know, all that. So because federal regulations probably get in the way.
Chuck has written, recreational marijuana. Good morning, panel. On most subjects as a group, you're fairly informed. Your ignorance of the real cost of drug use is staggering. Get informed. Drugs kill. Just because drugs don't kill you doesn't make them less dangerous. Drug addiction is a disease, not a defect of character, and the cost in lives, medical assistance, and rehabilitation is staggering and far outweighs the tax revenue. And that's Chuck from Saratoga coming in with a different view, which I particularly like when we get them on the program. Know what I mean? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then we heard from Linda in Hurley, where everybody keeps it down. When pot becomes legal, will companies still not hire people who fail their drug test because pot is found in their system?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it is.
Or
yeah.
will these people charge discrimination and sue? Linda in Hurley.
Well, probably yes and yes.
and there is still, in my perception, a stigma with knowing that someone is a marijuana smoker versus someone is a drinker. Drinking just in our culture is more socially acceptable, I think, in general, than marijuana smoking. And it'll be interesting to see whether in 20 years that will have changed, whether there's not a stigma around smoking marijuana.
And then we heard from Kenneth. Cannabis is worrisome. What worries me is the effect of pot smoking on driving accidents. Combine it with texting and accidents will multiply. Well, yeah, and the big problem, of course, is how are you going to prove it?
In states that have legalized recreational marijuana, they have trained officers in how to, you know, ask questions, have you walk lines, look in your eye, hold lights to your eyes, different things when they suspect marijuana may be involved. And they've been able to maintain convictions in cases like that. In fact, I think I've read that some local police in the Capital Region were going to get trained by some from one of the western states where it's been legal for a while.
And David says, as a parent of a 17-year-old senior, I fully support legalization of pot. Why? Anyone who is going to experiment with dope will experiment. I would much rather have him smoking, quote, real pot, kind of a like bathtub gin. Second gateway drug? Nope. Again, those who will experiment will. Those who won't, won't. My biggest fear is some jerk making the dope better with extras. Thank you. Thank you for that, David. All right.
And there was a time when pot was being laced with stuff.
It was what?
It was being laced.
Laced. Oh,
with
and Gary says, pot, any underage teenager that wants pot just has to go to school to get it. That's how it is, and that's how it always was. Thank you. And that's Gary from Western Massachusetts.
I don't really know. I guess that now that marijuana is legalized in a lot of states, is there better quality control or is there the possibility of getting bad stuff?
I think it will be better. There will be quality control because there'll be oversight into how it's harvested.
And also, what is the cottage industry that's going to pop up? So if all of a sudden you're allowed to grow marijuana in your yard, if you want, are you going to get arrested for not having a license to grow that marijuana?
Well, it's all according to what the law is. I mean, in Massachusetts, you can grow small amounts. But I don't think that I could then, if I lived in Massachusetts and I grow a small amount, that I could sell it.
But to Mike's point, which I think is an interesting one, is so for underage, if a 15, 16-year-old kid, 14, 13, whatever, is getting marijuana, are they getting it from a quote-unquote legal dispensary, or is it coming through the same channels that it's coming through now? And if that's the case, you don't know what's in it, right?
Yeah, and I suppose there'll be a fair amount of, you know, having people over the age of 21 who funnel it down to kids. Yeah,
just like when, oh, hey, guy, can you buy me a six-pack of beer?
Or buy my cigarettes from
me.
Yeah.
So do those kids get arrested?
You can. I mean, you can be charged with endangering the welfare of a minor, but it's a very difficult crime to enforce.
And moving ahead from Deanne, who says, I am uncomfortable about legalizing marijuana for several reasons. While people have been made aware of the danger of too much alcohol, nowhere have I seen warnings about marijuana. We need to have ways to detect when drivers have taken too much. It seems to come across as the whole thing is just fun with no guidance or consequences. But I do agree that people should not be incarcerated because of small qualities,
quantities
of it. I'm so sorry, Mike. You're right, as always. Quantities of it. Although I think that racial bias is a large part of that. Thanks from Deanne. And then... thank you from Brian, who says, hi, panel. Thanks for all you do. While revenue is an argument for legalization, it is not even the strongest one. Others include allocation of police resources to actual crime, reducing incarceration, and horrors, allowing people to exercise their rights to autonomy over their own bodies and minds. I've been around since 1950. The case for making marijuana illegal has always been in search of cogent arguments and has found few. The fallback, of course, is the children. But all those years have shown no effect even there.
And let's not forget the amount of alcohol that kids who are underage consume. They get their hands on it.
It's a tough argument to make, though, that, it's not as bad as alcohol. But alcohol, they're both bad, I think, for young kids. They're both bad for adults when you have too much. You know, marijuana is a hugely, when you smoke a lot of marijuana, you are not motivated. And it's a bad thing. Alcohol, same thing. Bad thing when you have too much of them. So the argument of, alcohol is okay, so marijuana is okay, I think either of them in excess is very not okay.
False equivalency. And Elizabeth says, marijuana sales in Massachusetts, good morning panel, lines at the pot shop in Northampton continue to be around the block every day, all hours, rain or shine. And from Neil, it's not about the money. Please, legal marijuana for personal use is the right thing to do. It shouldn't be about the money. True, some people profit. Most more importantly, there's no valid moral or ethical reason for marijuana prohibition. I'm 50 and a successful electrical engineer. I regularly smoke pot. Poo-poo pot smokers all you want. We pay taxes too. And that's from Neil.
Poo-poo pot smokers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're not even going to talk today about whether, since what people want is and might be good for them, is, you know, like the legalization of prostitution.
Oh.
We haven't gotten a letter on that yet.
Okay.
Okay. I think it's time for a break.
and then let's talk about Les Moonves, shall we?
Oh, there you go. Let's take a break when we come back. We'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Very nice to have you with us. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, J.P. Miller, and Webby Post. We're getting a lot of letters on the subject of marijuana legalization in the state of New York. This was announced as a priority by the governor of the state yesterday, and we've been talking about that letter, about that announcement, and reading letters of people responding, and we have many, many more to go.
And many of them have the same theme, which is if you can drink alcohol, you should be able to smoke pot. Melissa says, another email about pot.
Ban alcohol.
Motivation.
We tried that once. Yeah, yeah.
It didn't go very well, did it?
Yeah. I mean, most people don't know that at 4 o'clock on Monday morning, you can see the Untouchables.
Oh.
Uncut. See, I'm up that hour and I'm getting ready for my talk with
Sean Connery and all those.
Robert Stack playing Elliot Ness.
Oh, you mean the TV series. Yes.
Okay, so Melissa says, motivation, two question marks. You must not know a lot of people who smoke regularly. I've seen and heard of much motivation from those who are stoned. Please, do your research before you make such comments. dangerous. Everything is not good in large quantities. Take sugar, particularly the processed kind. You are so right, Melissa. Mm-hmm. You're so right. The damage processed sugar has caused the children is on record far greater than that of those exposed to cannabis. But false equivalency is false equivalency. You can't say, and I'll let you answer for yourself on the motivation question there, JP, but you can't say because marijuana is, because alcohol is far worse, that there aren't some properties of marijuana or some effects of marijuana. You just can't say that.
Yeah, but you can say if you can drink, you should be able to smoke.
Yes, you can say that.
That is perfectly rational.
And 17,000.
What about snort cocaine? Is that okay?
No,
or
no? Cocaine.
That's totally different.
It's cocaine is a controlled substance. Cocaine is
for
a good
marijuana.
Marijuana is for not a good reason, right. But cocaine is for a good reason.
Right, for a good reason. They put marijuana in just because you could get high from it, and they didn't want people using it, so
like
that's why they make it. But cocaine is different. It's addicting.
So is marijuana.
No, it's not.
Well, people don't smoke marijuana every day and drink alcohol every day? It's all addictive.
No, pot is not addictive.
Yes, it is.
People have addictive habits, and it can be habit-forming. You know, it gets into the, you know, individual's personality.
Then let's outlaw alcohol.
Well,
okay?
No, we talked about that. It doesn't work.
I know, but I'm going back to JP. It's addictive. So then let's outlaw everything that's addictive.
Well, one thing you can say about alcohol,
like,
and the difference
and
with marijuana is that with alcohol, people can become violent.
No kidding.
And it's not as common.
You don't.
It's less common with marijuana, according to experts.
When you get five guys together and they drink, there's a brawl. When you get five guys together and they smoke, they form a band.
Lady.
I mean, you know, it's a different. It's different.
Is
it's
that
a
called fish?
Yes.
No. Yes.
Right.
Okay.
It's a different kind of high. You don't get angry marijuana smokers.
Okay. You get
you
five.
You get angry drunks.
Okay. So you there?
They're not motivated to be angry.
You're
not
there.
All drunks are angry.
No, not all drunks are angry. I get that.
No, no, there's happy drunks.
Yes, there are happy drunks.
Like on the Andy Griffin show. Yes, what was his name?
Otis
T. Campbell.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I'm reading more.
And Drunk Uncle from Saturday Night Live.
Crystal, pot. Hello, panel. Does anyone consider the effect on the respiratory system? No filters, and the smoke is deeply inhaled.
That's
inhaled
a really good point.
Haven't heard any fuss about secondhand pot smoke either. And by the way, you know, this weekend I looked it up, and you can get serious smoke inhalation from your fireplace.
Mm, sure,
well,
you can.
Yes, you can. But heavy marijuana smoking. Definitely has to have a negative impact on your lungs.
Anything you put in your lungs,
yes.
Right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, exactly. And that's why edibles,
get you high.
Right.
Edibles, or now there's even oils that people put into the vaping, devices,
right.
and
but
they
the
can
edibles
take it that way.
Is what will probably be some of the biggest sellers. So that you don't
but
have to.
You'll be amazed at how much money the state's going to make off this.
A lot.
It's going to be huge. Yeah.
And Great Barrington's going to make
up
a lot
for
of money.
That Wall Street decline.
Huge. Yeah.
Okay, good morning, panel. As someone who lives in Lenox, Massachusetts, home of Tanglewood, tell that to the Stockbridge people, I find it curious that some residents here seem to have no problem with Tanglewood concert goers filling large trash dumpsters with wine bottles and then getting in their cars to drive home, but seem concerned with cannabis smokers and accidents. By the way, none of have ever been documented. As someone who frequently sits on the lawn for shows, please note, there's always cannabis smoking at Tanglewood for a long time already. You just thought a skunk was walking by, and that's from Sonia, who is both an activist, a humorist, and a humanist. Okay, and then also from Ramon. Smoking pot is no worse than drinking alcohol, but getting high is as detrimental, both to the individual and possibly to those around them, as getting drunk. Who could deny that, as the science is clear? That's from Ramon, who does write to us, and I love it when he does. Okay, and Kevin says, marijuana. To the letter asking about truckers and marijuana, the answer is no. There is zero tolerance policy for alcohol as well. Even if I am in my personal vehicle, I am also a trucker, so I know. 2 exclamation points. And then Dave says, I just got my CDL physical, and I took my drug test. Cannabis is on the screening panel. Since I must follow DOT rules, no weed can show up. For me, I've never smoked it anyway, so I don't care. That's Dave in Pittsfield. I know I'm an ignoramus, ladies and gentlemen, but what exactly is CDL? I just got my CDL physical.
Oh, the chauffeur driver's license.
Commercial
driver's license. Thanks. Be able to do a truck, drive
a
truck.
Right, and they say it stays in your system if you smoke marijuana once for up to 28 days. So it would pretty much prohibit somebody from being able to.
But, Mike, are you telling us that you can detect marijuana in the blood?
Yeah, I mean, there's tests, or they can take a urine or hair sample and get it months later, even, and show that somebody has been exposed to it. But you don't remain high for 28 days from one use.
So Rocco
wouldn't be any money in it then.
Right.
So Rocco, who is a good friend of the station, but who is wrong on this, says Mary Jane, not yet mentioned. Now, remember that sentence, not yet mentioned, is what is to happen to those who are arrested in prison for small quantities of marijuana in the past. Yes, we did talk about it at some length.
Right. They're talking about mitigating the sentences and releasing it, giving people, getting people out of jail. But not everybody has done that in every state where marijuana has been made legal. And it depends on the quantities and what other crimes are associated with it. And it gets very complicated very quick. And it's not just open up the gate and let people out who've been convicted of pot possession.
And Rocco concludes, if recreational use is legalized, should these people go free and their records cleared of these infractions? I believe so. Just my 11.3 cents, Rocco.
That makes perfect
sense. And Chris says, cannabis. You guys are talking about cannabis this morning. I'm an addiction specialist. Please know that alcohol is alcohol. But when you're talking about cannabis, there's a big difference between what you can buy off the street with all the various things it might be laced with, including opioids and meth, versus medical-grade marijuana, which may be simply marijuana. It's important that kids know what they're getting off the street, maybe a whole lot more than marijuana. And that's from Christopher from Keene, New Hampshire. He's a doctor, by the way. And Martin says, the state should sell marijuana. Okay. Why do we allow private companies to profit from the sale of addictive drugs? Alcohol and nicotine profits benefit unscrupulous companies, while the state taxpayers must pay for the health care and other associated costs. New York should operate the dispensaries like they do in Canada. Profits made by sales would likely offset the additional resources needed for treatment of cannabis-related complications. Plus, if the state chooses not to market the business aggressively, like alcohol and nicotine industries, then the harm is further mitigated. That's from Martin. But you know, that's interesting because nobody has written in about the fact that sooner or later the feds are going to have to follow along.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do, don't you think the cigarette companies are going to want in on this?
The cigarette companies are already buying up marijuana distributors.
Uh-huh.
And that's another thing you're addicted to and it's legal. You get addicted to cigarettes.
Without nicotine. Or to diet Pepsi Cola.
Right. Or diet soda, period.
I acknowledge a dependency on coffee.
Right. Caffeine is addictive. There's a lot of things that are addictive and that we don't outlaw them.
We just got a great letter from a listener who said fingernails should be outlawed. I can't stop biting mine.
Yeah, me too. Yep.
Good point. Legal marijuana from Mike in New York.
Laura.
It's worth mentioning marijuana is Schedule 1, where cocaine and methamphetamine are Schedule 2 drugs.
They're bad. All those are bad. I mean, they're very difficult. It cuts down on how much money is available for research, and it also, again, the big problem here is that it makes it so the banking industry does not want anything to do with the marijuana trade, and it causes this cash economy that's risky. That's why they need armed guards at some pot places.
Reed wants us to know that Sensimilla in Spanish means without seeds. This technique of growing to avoid seed production makes for more THC.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph says, I think it's fairly obvious that Andrew pushed for medical pot in the form of pills, et cetera, and not smokable products as the route by which his big money contributors could make more money and keep the small timers out of the business as they are the ones with enough capital to finance that type of operation. Here in Mass, we're allowed to grow up to 6 plants as an adult. There are, of course, stipulations on that allowance.
It'd be an interesting question as to whether the governor would accept campaign contributions from the marijuana industry. I don't know whether he's made that clear, whether he would or wouldn't.
Especially if they're an LLC. Yeah. Don't you see? Okay, and then finally, the last letter that I have before me now is from Deborah, who says, CBD oil. We carry CBD oil for pets and humans at all of our 6 stores in New York and Massachusetts. You do not need a license or prescription for it. It is a great supplement for pain management and anxiety, among other conditions. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's very interesting to me. Mm-hmm. I did not know.
All right. Let's move on to other topics. We're also getting letters saying you're spending too much time on pot.
Like you're spending too much time on pot?
That's funny, Mike.
And that's exactly how it sounds, Mike. Thank you. So let's go to other stories and see what kind of other trouble we can get into in the next 5 minutes. Wes Moonves, it was finally fired, will be fired.
With cause.
With cause from the CBS television network. As a result, he was let go. He was,
He was fired.
He got bought out back in September.
In September.
A severance package. Right. $120
million.
$121 million.
Yes. It's just outrageous.
And yesterday, after the investigation, because he had not been, what screwed me up was that he had not been fired yet. So yesterday was fired with cause. Because of the as a result of the investigation into sexual harassment allegations, which seemed quite severe, but also in addition to that, not only those allegations, but also the lying to the investigators and also the trying to cover up the infractions to make sure that he kept his severance package.
He'll sue and they'll settle.
They've already said it. Yeah.
He'll sue and they'll settle.
Well, CBS is coming out of a bad run.
A rough time.
Yeah, they there's been allegations against the producers of 60 Minutes. Of course, there's the Charlie Rose episode, and now their head guy Les Moonves, and they need to really stand firm if they want to change the culture in that company and make the public mm-hmm. realize that the culture is changing. One of their TV stars, they paid yes. a woman who he harassed on the set.
Michael Wheatley from Bull.
Bull, right. It was the jury expert series. And, you know, because of this reputation they now have, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't pay Moonves, if they fight it all the way and try not to pay him. And that's what they would need to do to establish credibility going forward, I think.
Well, you're probably right, but I predict he'll sue, they'll settle.
And his lawyers will work for free. They'll say, hey, we'll work for free on your behalf to give us 10% of your whatever.
You get 30%.
$50 or $60 million.
But, I mean, just think about that. I don't know. My wife and I were talking about this last night. But just think about that. Just under whatever the cases are.
$1 million a week for 2 years.
$121 million is a severance package.
Right.
Good God.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Well, that should cover his retirement.
And by the way, I took some exception to your fierce comeback group when I said he was fired. And you said, no, you know, he was fired now. He wasn't fired before. But he was pushed out, folks. And that means fired.
He also is already worth hundreds of millions of dollars. So will he want to go through with a big court battle? I don't know.
But to Alan's point, I thought he had been fired in September, but apparently the board had just put him aside and had not. And
they suspended him and gave him a severance.
It was a suspension, and it was still making money. That was what horrified me, was that while all that was going on, and I guess it was pending the investigation, and I had no idea. I thought that they had severed all ties. But
you'd have to do that, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd have to.
You have to imagine though that who was his boss at that time? Maybe he set up that arrangement, right? The board's his boss, but they're all he's got a control. A guy of Les Moonves' stature basically controls the board and tells them this is what I want to. This is what I will do.
As long as you have enough votes on the board, you're exactly right, and he did until a point.
I'm waiting for the divorce.
Oh, Libby.
Well, do you think she's going to... It's Connie...
Julie Cheng.
Julie Cheng. Do you think she's going to stay with him?
You never know. People love people.
Totally embarrassed. She left the show. She was on
the talk.
The talk. She left the talk. I mean, it's
Big Brother.
It's humiliating for a woman, for the wife, to be in this position.
To find out that your husband is such a pig.
Right. Yes. It's very humiliating.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go now, Libby.
Well, his reputation has certainly been disgraced, and I don't think it's recoverable.
Well, and the thing that I got, especially the New York Times article goes into detail of how hard he worked to cover up.
Mm-hmm. Right, all the steps. He intimidated people who could talk about him.
To protect the severance.
Yeah. Right.
But let's not forget.
That's a lot of money to protect.
He's getting fired, and Donald Trump is still in the White House. And he is just as much of a predator, if not worse.
That's a very good point. And well, I think the reason it's such a good point is that this president has all kinds of protections around him because he's the president. And we know that he's got all of the stuff that he's been accused of doing, which I think he did do. It's very important. And now we hear from Fox. Now, I don't know where they got it. I mentioned it early in the program that there may be a sealed indictment.
I saw that. I saw a segment that they played where the judge, what's his name, Andrew something? Yeah. Anyway, their judge guy. and he's saying, and the way he said it, it seemed to me like he was completely speculating.
Oh, Judge Napolitano.
Napolitano, right. He was completely speculating. I mean, for all we know, they may be an indictment of the president, and they're and a sealed indictment, and they'll. I mean, the problem is if these are crimes that have statutes of limitations, so often they'll indict and they'll just keep it secret until after the president leaves office, so then they can charge him. Otherwise, the statute would run out.
Well, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's logical. Number one, that's not proof.
Well, the president has been named in many of these prosecutions as being. You know, whatever they call them.
Right, but no U.S. attorney that I'm aware of has used the term we heard during Watergate, where Nixon was an unindicted co-conspirator.
Not yet.
Not at this point, right?
Right. Right. We've been using it.
We have to leave, but thank you all very much. Appreciate it. We'll be back after this short break.